Pam Peek, New York Times best-selling author and founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robeson, leading women's advocate, entrepreneur, and founder of EmpowHer.com, host the show everyone's talking about. It's time for Her Radio.
Now, this is a hot topic, Michelle, and I'm sure it's all over EmpowHer's website, and it's the issue of emotional abuse.
It is.
You know?
Oh, it's everywhere. Man. And all of us have faced it, right? At one time or another, most of us have faced emotional abuse. We may not have known it.
Yep. And it's sort of a kernel piece of so many troubled relationships. And we're so honored and happy that our wonderful friend, Dr. Norman Rosenthal, is going to come and help us understand this. Dr. Rosenthal is a world-renowned psychiatrist and author whose research in describing seasonal affective disorder has helped millions of people. He has New York Times bestsellers, Transcendence, The Gift of Adversity, Winter Blues, and the Winter Blues Survival Book. So, Dr. Rosenthal, first, welcome back to Her Radio. We love to have you on.
I love to be with you, ladies. You're so much fun and so interesting.
Well, you know, we're going to be talking about a rough subject right now, and we're all ears as well as our wonderful listeners. Tell us about emotional abuse.
Well, I'm so glad we're talking about it because I think a lot of us have heard about physical abuse, of course. Wife battering, as it's sometimes called, although the husbands sometimes get it too. Sexual abuse, of course, has been widely covered, as well it should be. But the sort of secret problem that hasn't been dealt with as it should have is emotional abuse. Now, when we first talked about the segment, we talked about verbal abuse, you know, people cussing each other out or talking meanly to each other, and that's only a little piece of emotional abuse. Because so many times, emotional abuse is non-verbal. The silent treatment, who's had been on the receiving end of that?
Plenty. I
have.
God,
yes.
Sure.
Hello.
I have.
Oh, man. Bring it on.
And how does that feel?
Awful.
Horrible. Just
right.
Horrible.
You know, somebody, at least when somebody's being angry at you, even if they're cursing you out, they're engaged. They're right. Acknowledging that you're there. They're acknowledging that they care and that you've gotten them upset so that it means something to them. But the silent treatment is the way of saying, drop dead. I don't care if you're there or not, if you're alive or dead. It's very, very painful. How many people have been with folks, maybe it's a boyfriend or a husband or a partner, who you say something and they roll their eyes? Or they click their tongue, or some little gesture that says, you are contemptible. I am contemptuous. It is such a painful thing. It seems so little. So what are you getting so upset about just because I rolled my eyes? That's not a big deal. Well, actually, it is. And in fact, the research of psychologist Dr. John Gottman, who has developed science to predict when a marriage is not going to survive, has flagged sarcasm and contempt as two of the signs that the marriage won't survive. And another one is when the husband withdraws, just doesn't answer. You know, a friend of mine said the other day, he said, you know, I've had trouble with my wife for all this time, and the last 6 months she's been going at me. I just haven't been reacting. Why? He's given up. He is indicating her by the silent treatment that she no longer means anything to him. So watch out for signs of emotional abuse, whether it's nasty talk, whether it's no talk, whether it's rolling your eyes, whether it's clicking your tongue. These are very painful and destructive things and need to be attended to and wherever possible addressed and hopefully fixed.
So what does someone do who is faced with this, Norm? What are the top three things someone should do?
Well, I think the first thing is to express your feelings. To say, you know, when you roll your eyes like that, I'm sure it doesn't perhaps mean a lot to you, or it doesn't, maybe you don't think of it as as very hurtful, but it makes me feel so small, and I'm sure you really don't want me to feel that way. Now, maybe he does want you to feel that way, but just putting it that way helps him to understand that these little clicks and rolls and silent treatments, that they have a really big impact. Now, if there is no evidence that moves the person at all, and I'm talking about woman and man in that way, but of course a woman can show it just as much. And if somebody out there is listening, recognizes in yourself these kinds of things, a sarcastic click of the tongue or roll of the eye, ask yourself, is this really how I want to communicate? Because the person who's doing that often feels badly themselves. Wouldn't it be better to say, you know, things don't seem happy between us. Let's sit down and talk about it and see if we can make it better. And then, of course, I'm a big fan of therapy, because oftentimes these patterns get very ingrained and are very hard to turn around by oneself.
So you're really looking at expressing feelings then, and just authentically sharing with whatever outcome, but, you know, just getting it out there, saying that, you know, this is not working for me, this hurts me a lot, it's not working for us, certainly. And then you also say that therapy is very valuable. When you say therapy, who should someone go to?
You know, I think it's always good to get a referral from somebody who has been to a therapist and says, you know, that person was so helpful, he or she was so understanding, they really clarified things between me and my partner, that's a good person. Or from another professional, maybe your physician knows a therapist that he sent a lot of people to who have been very happy with a person. I think the web is often not a good resource in that regard, because it can be highly skewed or selective. I think personal recommendations are often the best. And, you know, I think you should also use your own judgment. When you go to the therapist's office, assess, does this person seem to understand her business, his business? Are the questions that he or she is asking on point? Are the comments insightful? Did I feel just a little bit better afterwards because something became clearer or something seemed more manageable? These are the things to look for in seeking out a therapist.
Wow.
And I think, too, one of the things that is in the book that you talk about is that there's also, you know, someone who's checking in excessively or texting or, you know, some form of intimidation. Or stalking, that those are all, you know, forms of emotional abuse too, that I think some people just don't even recognize, like excessive texting, for example.
You mean somebody who's texting you too much? You go on one date and then you get 7 texts the next day.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes in that person's mind, that can be an expression of how much they're into you or how much they love you or care about you. What that person isn't understanding is your need for boundaries. You don't want to be buzzed in your pocket 7 times by somebody you've been on one date with. That person doesn't have a good sense of boundaries. Incidentally, if that happened after one date, I wouldn't give it too good a prognosis.
I don't think there's any question. You know, the other thing is that, you know, texting and with threatening stuff and with insults and with, you know, badgering someone is a whole different form of this as well. Bullying in a major way. Dr. Mm-hmm. Norman Rosenthal, we cannot begin to thank you once again for coming and sharing your marvelous knowledge and wisdom about all things mental health. In this case, emotional abuse. Dr. Rosenthal, we thank you so much. The Gift of Adversity is his latest book. Go out and get it. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and go check out empower.com/herchat for upcoming topics. Stay well.